You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
So more on a story that we've been talking to you about for quite some time, not only when this law was passed, but when it went into effect on January 1st. It's an Arizona state law that bans ethnic studies programs. In order to comply with that law, the Tucson Unified School District voted to end its Mexican-American Studies program last Tuesday. And there's also a number of books that supposedly will be taken out of the curriculum. Titles like Critical Race Theory by Richard Delgado, Chicano, The History of the Mexican Civil Rights Movement by Arturo Rosales, and Rethinking Columbus, The Next 500 Years by Bill Bigelow. Not necessarily that teachers won't be able to cover the subjects, just not read the books. Tucson Magnet High School literature teacher Curtis Acosta, a teacher who's been an advocate for the ethnic studies program, told The Takeaway he was advised to avoid teaching anything that addresses themes of race, ethnicity, or oppression, and that includes books like William Shakespeare's Tempest. Really? Lorenzo Lopez teaches history and civics to 11th and 12th grade at Choya Hill High School in Tucson. Lorenzo, The Tempest?
Yeah, that's exactly. That was our response as well.
Why The Tempest? I mean, how do you know where this line is?
Well, that's the problem. That's the dilemma we're in. We don't know where the line is. And the way that this law is written is it is so vague that even the school districts are trying to err on the side of caution and throwing the baby out with the bathwater, in the sense that they're even, you know, they're handicapping us. They're handcuffing us, essentially.
So, explain to me, have you had to change your curriculum as well?
Oh, yeah. We've had several meetings with administrators, site administrators, and told not to cover anything controversial that might get us into hot water.
And there were 7 texts that were explicitly barred from use by the school district, right?
Right. And again, that wasn't covered by the state. However, our school district is trying to ensure they're almost in the same position we are. They have no idea what we did to violate this law. Therefore, they're just, you know, they're trying to avoid losing, you know, upwards of $15 million if we do violate this law.
In state funding. This is Kara Reen. This is a comment from Kara Reen, a spokesman for the Tucson School District. And this is what she told us about the 7 books that the school district has asked teachers not to use.
They haven't been banned. They were taken out of the classroom just because those classes were no longer being taught. The classes were suspended, and these were part of that. So they were taken out because those classes are no longer being taught.
So also joining us today is Buzz Conover, senior political reporter at Arizona Public Media. Buzz, you just heard Lorenzo Lopez, the high school teacher, saying that this is the Tucson Unified School District trying to protect itself. Is that what's going on here?
As Lorenzo pointed out, I think the district is in a bit of a quandary because the law is pretty vague, but they've been found in violation of it. And when the decision was made to try and get out of violation of it, the decision was made on a financial basis. They were going to lose about $50 million potentially. It was a formula that was about 10% of their state funding a month until they came into compliance with the law. But when the state determined and an administrative law judge determined that the district was in violation, they never told them how they were in violation. They merely told them, you're in violation. So they didn't know what to fix.
Well, how is this being received by the people of Arizona, particularly the parents whose kids are now going to school where these textbooks are not being used?
The kids, the teachers, the parents who are in those classes are not happy. 100 kids from a couple of high schools, Choya being one of them, walked out of class, went to the Tucson Unified School District headquarters last week to protest. The meetings have been full of protesters for the school board. Others whose kids aren't in the program, some are upset, some aren't. It kind of varies from person to person, but certainly anyone who's involved with the program is very upset.
That's Buzz Conover with Arizona Public Media, and still with us, Lorenzo Lopez, who teaches history and civics at Choya High School in Tucson. And Lorenzo, take a listen to this. This is Assistant Superintendent Lupita Cavazos Cavazos Garcia talking to some of the students from your high school in this walkout that Buzz was just talking about.
This country is called America, okay? And they study U.S. history. If you were to go live in Mexico, like many of my cousins chose to do, go back, you would study Mexican history.
What is the response of what have you heard from students about all this?
The response that I've gotten is what year are we living in? We're essentially asking people to go back to their countries of origin, to the countries of their ancestors' origin. At least that's how it was received by my students. And outrage, literally, what century are we living in where, okay, maybe they're not burning the books, but to remove them from a class because a student might pick it up, that's ridiculous.
So do you feel as though this law is actually affecting how well you can teach the subjects you teach?
Oh, absolutely. We've been informed as teachers that there will be an increased level of scrutiny, more observation to ensure that we don't cover anything, that we don't interject any kind of opinion or any kind of passion into what we do. Education is not a sterile environment. You have to ask critical questions.
Let me remind everyone of what we're talking about. This is an ethnic studies law in Arizona. It took effect on January 1st, and it bans classes that promote the overthrow of the U.S. government or encourage resentment toward any specific race or class of people. It also bans classes that are designed solely for students of a certain ethnic background. So, Buzz, there has been a court challenge to this. They tried to get an injunction that failed. What happens next with this law?
What's interesting is the court challenge continues, and it's a federal challenge. A group of teachers and a group of students came together, challenged the law federally. The federal judge has said the teachers actually don't have standing in that case, but the students do. So that case will continue. Now, the injunction, as you said, was turned down, but the case will continue. So we're a long way from finished with this, most likely.
Could it end up as a referendum?
That'll be interesting to see. I've heard on the street, so to speak, a little bit of chatter about trying to get a referendum, but it would have to be a statewide referendum. And if you head up into some of the other areas of the state, Phoenix and places like that, it seems to have some more support, it being the law. So a referendum could be a little more difficult because it would have to be statewide. So right now, the court challenge looks to be one of the better options.
So, Lorenzo Lopez, give me an example of a moment in U.S. history that you feel can't be taught without in some way referring to a specific class or race of people in the U.S.
I have no idea what they're referring to in terms of teaching resentment. There was no evidence that supported that. The claim of overthrowing the U.S. government was completely unfounded. We don't do any of the things that are outlined in the state law. This is why we fought it tooth and nail. The teaching of the Mexican-American War, for example, the Abraham Lincoln's resistance towards that war. It goes on and on. How do you teach something that is historically founded, that took place?
You're afraid that if you teach the Mexican-American War and in any way, shape, or form characterize the motivations of the Mexican government, that you could be violating the state law?
Yeah, if we characterize the motivations of the U.S. government as a move to acquire territory. If we mentioned anything along those lines other than, the traditional perspective of the Mexican government invaded into the United States, which no historian believes that to be the case. That's the way we're supposed to present it.
Do you think you can adequately teach the Civil War without just saying something that appeals to one particular class or race?
Well, that's the issue. The Civil War, slavery, the Civil Rights Movement, on and on. how do you teach that? How do you teach that without accurately portraying the roles of different people in different governments?
Well, it sounds as though there's no answer to that question in this law itself. Lorenzo Lopez teaches history and civics at Chola High School in Tucson, and Buzz Conover is senior political reporter at Arizona Public Radio. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Not surprisingly, listeners have been weighing in on this story. Tyra Lynn Wall is a former English teacher. She wrote on our Facebook page to say, if a student can read Shakespeare or even Huckleberry Finn and understand the context, subtext, and cultural implications, then the book is a great teaching tool. If they can't, though, we should wait until students are more mature. Lots more comments as well. Go to thetakeaway.org. We want to hear from you. Are there books that shouldn't be part of the school curriculum? What's the reason? Is banning a book censorship? Give us your take at 877-8MYTAKE or post to thetakeaway.org. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.